real.
Butter.
I see dead people.
I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually a thing. I'm a being.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
Maybe it'll all just go away. Like a bad dream.
I doubt it.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Coming to you from the dimly-lit and play break room of the fabulous family-owned and operated Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor American city, this is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
I'm Theodore Theater.
I'm Amanda LeBlanc.
And today, yesterday, tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this, probably not yesterday, we're reviewing Onward.
Listen to it today.
They could listen to it today, or...
Maybe for them, if you're a time traveler.
Our voices are speaking from the past, but for them it is today.
Well.
Guys, we're going to review Onward. I saw it. Everyone here saw it.
Yeah, we all saw it. Pixar
I saw it.
All right, that was a good butter cast. Yep. We'll catch you guys next week.
yeah, I saw the heck out of it.
Yeah, me too.
I saw it so hard.
I saw it and I literally cried the entire movie. Like, the entire movie, I never stopped crying.
I was going to say, as soon as I sat down, opening scene, I cried.
Yep.
This is what Pixar does to people.
And my mom, I had texted my mom beforehand, like, hey, I'm going to a movie, the new Pixar movie. And she was like, bring a tissue. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to cry in this one. Like, I haven't even
Dude,
seen the preview. Like,
it destroyed me.
I think they're like little elves. Like, I don't know. It's not going to hit me. And then it was like, the whole movie. I was just like, how? Who
the whole movie,
this?
Right? The whole
how
movie.
How dare they make this movie? You know?
Like, I was shaking my head in like disbelief on how much I was getting emotional.
I had an audible sob, which I know you love when I do that. But I was sitting alone right in the middle of the theater. Just like, of course, a quiet part. You know, had held it in for 2/3 of the movie, and it was like, just... I couldn't even like replicate what it sounded like, but it was so obvious. It wasn't that full in the theater, and hopefully no one noticed. It was...
I was eating chicken tenders, and yeah, I was like crying as I was eating it. It was just like, if the movie wasn't there, it would have looked so sad, just like...
Just more barbecue sauce I got M&M's, which I don't normally do, but whatever. I got M&M's, and I did not even open them the whole movie because I was crying the whole time. And did, I
forgot about the M&M's.
I never even drank my icy. Like I got the icy was just melted because I was so. I won't lie. The first like half an hour, I was a little bit like, okay, when is this gonna pick up a little bit? But then like after that, I was like fully engrossed, not thinking about.
Dang, dude. At least I was eating. I was sad eating, but...
I mean, I'd already had dinner. I didn't really need snacks, you know? But it feels weird to go to a movie without snacks.
Yeah, no, you're right. I have to stay awake, so I have to eat food to stay awake.
Yeah, that's true. I feel that.
Like, constantly.
I definitely stayed awake in this movie. I was very upset. There was, like, so many moments during the movie where it was just like, you can't get any sadder than this. And then it gets sadder, and it's like, oh, God!
Yeah, can you not?
Yes!
Can you just not?
It was close to the end, and I actually was trying to Google, well, okay, let's just say the premise of the movie is two brothers who lost their dad before the younger brother was even born. And when the younger one turned 16, they were given a present by their mom that was from their dad that they weren't allowed to open until they were adults, which apparently is 16 in this world. And it's a magic spell and a staff and a gem, a phoenix gem, to bring their dad back for 24 hours.
Yeah, the dad casted a spell on it.
Yeah, so and like they bring... can cast the spell to bring their dad back so that he can see what kind of people they've grown up to be, which sob. Like, honestly, how, like, a terribly sad thing. And then they have to go on this journey to find another gem because they only got halfway until they had his legs.
Yeah.
They have his legs, bottom half. And then the gem broke or disappeared or something. It didn't work.
They shattered in a million pieces.
Yeah. So they have to go on this quest with dad's legs. And I was getting to the end, and I was crying again this whole time in anxiety about if they're actually going to be able to meet the dad, because they only had until the next sunset to like be able to see him. And I googled onward spoilers with like a half an hour.
Oh, come on!
But I couldn't read it. There were people in the row behind me, so I was like, I can't do this. So I didn't even read the spoilers. You know, I was just watch the movie, Amanda. But I was so much anxiety about like they're gonna be, because I just like felt so bad for them.
Yeah.
You know, these like fake characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like it was.
Damn, you had to look it up. You couldn't stomach it.
No, I mean, I was just, jeez. I'm like, I have to know that they meet the dad, and then of course, I mean, spoilers. We spoil movies on this podcast. They only have time. Well, the younger brother, who is the wizard, had to go fight this dragon, rock dragon.
Yeah, long story.
Long story. To prevent the rock dragon from destroying the second Phoenix gem that they have found and are using to finish bringing the dad back.
And there's like minutes left.
Minutes, because the sun is almost. Disappeared, or, you know,
has almost set.
And he says, the older brother's like, I'll go fend off the dragon so you can meet dad. Because the older brother has memories. He has 4 memories of his dad. Because he was very young when the dad passed. And the younger brother goes, you know what? No, you stay. And so you can say goodbye to dad. Because he didn't have, I can't even talk about it. Because you weren't able to say goodbye to him before. And he's like, I had you.
Yeah, the there's a whole montage.
Oh,
like Amanda's crying.
Tearing up.
Amanda's crying.
It's so, like, when he realized that, like, his brother was there to, like, do all of these things with him that, like, a dad would normally be there for, it's just like, I lost it.
Yeah, that killed me.
Lost it.
That killed me.
Yeah, like, I didn't even see that coming until he was going through that list and he started going, and I was like, oh my god. Like, I'm like, literally.
Go
like,
get a tissue, bro.
A tear has escaped. It's my the first tear. I cried about it today, talking about it over text to a friend.
Dude.
And I'm crying again. I don't know if it's like, I don't know, it just hit me really hard this time.
My tears stay in the auditorium. They don't leave.
I know what to get you for your birthday, Amanda.
What, is that a never-ending supply of Kleenex?
No, in fact, I think the more environmentally friendly option would be to get you a nice thick handkerchief that you can completely fill with tears and then rinse out and reuse.
I love that, actually.
Oh, God.
I would wash it. You know, if it was embroidered with something like Amanda's movie crying tissue or handkerchief or something, some clever little saying that was like, this is
sad cloth.
This is the handkerchief that I cry into when I watch movies or something.
Sad cloth.
Sad cloth.
Yeah, here's Amanda's sad cloth.
Amanda's sad cloth.
Be sad on it.
It's actually a pretty good idea. You know what I really should do is I should get like wristbands, like sweat wristbands that I can just wipe my eyes with. Like on my wrist.
Yeah, that'll
get you
pink eye one of those times.
Well, why don't you wash them?
Oh, okay.
Nasty.
As long as you wash
them. Maybe your tear chamois.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I normally just use my sleeve or my shirt, you know, like my, this like,
yeah.
Just like the neckline of my shirt is just like all stretched out and damp when I leave a movie theater. Yeah, man.
It looks like you were caught in the rain or something.
Yeah.
Oh, is it raining out? No! It's not raining! It's raining inside!
I felt like my eyes would not stop crying. Like, you know, when do you ever have that feeling when you're crying so much that it's like that your eyes are like a faucet. And
it broke.
It's like streaming
your
down
tear ducts
face.
Broke and it's just
nonstop. Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's how I felt during this stupid movie. And I had an audible sob. Did I already say that?
Yeah. You can say it again, though. It's hilarious.
That's always a good sign of, like,
what's it?
A movie is actually sad. If I'm like, actually, yep.
I have a. It's still on topic about the movie. I've been noticing that there are a lot of A, B, C list actors that are now voice acting in movies, and it seems like that. I don't know. It like. I personally feel like a lot of other voice actors could have done just as good of a job. Voice acting these characters, and I'm curious if it's just like a...
It's a name recognition.
They yeah, drop exactly.
To say like, oh, Chris
exactly.
Pratt is in this movie.
Right.
Tom Holland is in this movie. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in this movie.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's a way to... And it's easy work for the actors. It doesn't take that long for them to do it. And they're paid a lot, but it's not as much as if they were, like, body acting, like,
right.
Full body acting. So it's... And honestly, like, an animated movie, like, their budget is the animation and the music... And the voice acting. And they don't have to deal with locations,
true.
Props, costumes.
Yeah, traveling, all that
right.
stuff.
You know,
true, that's
like
very
wherever
true.
Wherever you're at, you can come in and
yeah.
and record. They'll have a booth set up for you. And it's like, you know, it might be a couple weeks of voice acting versus being on set for 12 weeks.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it is on, I think it's kind of like a, it's almost like a cheaper way of getting these big names. And it's also like, these big actors want to do it because it's, to be in a Pixar movie is something that's like huge,
yeah.
You know? And Tom Holland even said, I remember him saying, I don't know if it was on Instagram or something when he was like filming this or like recording. He was talking about how he was like, how happy, like he felt really like, he felt like he had made it because he was in a Pixar movie. Like,
wow.
He found out that was like so cool to him, and he was in a Pixar movie that like his voice was going to be immortalized in a Pixar movie. Because that was like a really huge accomplishment for him. That's the word I was looking for. He felt very accomplished. So
I can see that. That's a good way to see it.
Yeah.
That tendency to use stars as voice actors, I think you can trace that back to the 90s, roughly. Things like Toy Story.
True,
or
yeah.
Lion King,
kind of lightly.
Man,
yeah, like a light dusting. But if you look back at the classic movies from the 50s and 60s and 70s, like the great Disney films, The Jungle Book and stuff, those are all professional voice actors or stage actors or singers. Even The Little Mermaid and... you know, that run of movies, Aladdin and so on. Those are all just character actors.
The Renaissance.
Yeah, indeed. And then you get the 2000s and every single person is a movie star.
Yeah.
Like, I remember it was a big deal when Brad Pitt did a voice for a movie called Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas in 2003.
Yeah, I remember that movie. I don't know if I saw it.
I like that. I don't think anyone saw it, but,
my gosh.
Still. Yeah, it's. I guess producers are more afraid than ever that people won't get the concept and go just because the movie's good, that they need some kind of incentive.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm of the camp where it's like, I will pretty much go to any Pixar movie just because it's a Pixar movie and I think they're usually good, you know?
Yeah, they haven't really failed in a while.
No. So, and I'm always down to see a Pixar movie, always. I will say I was a little bit disappointed at the opener, like the short before the main feature.
Yeah, I skipped.
You skipped it. I love the shorts. I love Pixar shorts. They're so good. I mean, they usually make me sob, usually. They have no words. This one was like a Simpsons short.
Yeah, and I caught the end of it. I also saw it like before.
And I understand that like Disney bought Fox last year.
Yeah, that was so weird to see that though, because it was like Disney and it was the Simpsons. Like,
I know.
What is
now
happening?
Now they have possession of the Simpsons, which is strange.
Yeah, what are they going to do with that? Besides make little shorts.
I guess make shorts with it, where they don't have the voice actors for it, so
yeah.
There's no talking. And it was, you know, I don't know. I'm not a huge Simpsons fan in the first place, just because it's not... I wasn't allowed to watch it as a child, because my parents don't like it. So, you know, it's not, I wasn't allowed. So I never got into it.
I am a big fan of The Simpsons, specifically seasons 2 through 9.
Okay.
That was its golden age. That's when they're all really funny and they have a good solid plot line and sort of it's all character based and family based. But in any case, that short made me cringe because it was very much evidence that Disney owns The Simpsons now and they're going to clean it up, and it didn't feel like The Simpsons.
Yeah, I can see that.
Also, I don't really want to see a film about two babies falling in love. I think that's kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was awkward.
Like, yeah,
babies
really
don't have those feelings.
When they were about to kiss at the end, it was like, why are we sexualizing babies?
Yeah, they put the, what are those called?
Pacifiers.
They put the pacifiers in at the last second before they were going to kiss.
Like,
and it was like, oh, it's saved. Haha, you thought, yeah, you're gross for thinking that. But it's like, you also animated two babies right about to kiss.
Yeah, weird. Weird. Also, I will
say, which is weird, because it's Disney. You would think they would clean it up rather than do something kind of questionable.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a woman in the row in front of me, and she thought it was hilarious, and she was the only one laughing. And it was like, something would happen, she'd go, ha, 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 ha. Oh my gosh. I was like, what? It's not that funny. You know? Like,
it's amazing what people find funny.
Right? It's like, I was literally sitting there looking at the back of her head like, what?
What are you laughing at?
Yeah, what are you laughing at?
Are you laughing at the movie? You thought of something.
It's not worthy of a laugh. Maybe like a, huh, not even that, you know, but like a...
I stayed quiet. I was just eating my chicken tenders. It was at the very like the tail end of it.
Okay, you sat down.
But I also had like seen it before. I was delivering food at one point, and I was like, "What the heck is this?"
So
yeah,
you already.
Amanda.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailers for the film? The trailers beforehand.
I walked in the middle of the trailers. Which one are you talking about? I can't remember.
Because if you're talking about crying, did you see the trailer for In the Heights?
Oh my gosh. No, I missed the In the Heights trailer that time, but I did see it. I think when I saw Birds of Prey, it was before Birds of Prey, maybe. But I saw that on the internet the morning it was released, because I follow Lin-Manuel Miranda on Twitter, and I think I still had Twitter on that day. And it made me cry the first time I watched it on YouTube. Because, like, that trailer has... You know, what is... Lin-Manuel is possessed by the devil, because he has the ability to, like... He manipulates my emotions with his music like no one else ever does. Like, he has a swell of music and it'll make me cry. Like, just, like, a note. And it's... I don't know what it is about. Like, the way that he writes things are just, like, mind-blowing. I don't know. Like, I can't... Yeah. Like, the second half of the Hamilton soundtrack, like, from the time that he, like, cheats on Elizabeth... Eliza. I said her name wrong. Wow. From that song until the end, through the end of the musical, I will be crying the whole time. And there are certain notes in each song in that second half where I will cry. Like,
you look like you're getting a little weepy right now.
I am emotional. Like, it's emotional. And I've never seen In the Heights, and I've never really listened to the soundtrack. Like, I just have never gotten into it. But I'm super excited to watch it. And after seeing that trailer, I'm, like, even more excited to watch it. And every time, even if I watch that trailer any other time, I still cry. Have you seen it?
No.
We'll have to watch it after we finish recording. It is going to be... It's... Ugh. Ugh. I can't wait. I know that whole movie. Like, the whole movie, I'm just going to be sitting there just like a child on Christmas morning. I'm going to be so excited.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be real good.
One other thing before we kind of rate the movie here. Before, so I saw the movie after my shift, mm-hmm. and I had to write it down because it was so weird. I asked this older guy, I was at the concession stand, I was getting him his stuff, and he's like, yeah, I'll get a corn. I'm like, okay, whatever, small, medium, large, blah, blah, blah. And so he got small, and I'm like, did you want butter on it? We have the movie theater topping for free, and we have the real butter for the dollar extra. And he's like, yeah, I'll do the stadium butter. And I just stood there, I'm like, what does that mean?
Interesting.
And I made a
brain just like went.
Yeah, I was like, I've never heard that before. No one in this establishment ever calls any of the butters stadium butter.
I literally said movie theater topping or real butter.
Right. So I made
you did not offer stadium butter. He was like, yeah, I'll have a stadium butter.
So I made a big butt move and I just drizzled it under the movie theater topping. And he didn't say anything. And I'm like, oh, that's right. The stadium we have in back with like the millions and millions of bleachers. I totally forgot about that stadium that we have in the theater.
Right.
He didn't say anything, so I was like, I hope that was it.
I think it is. I think it was right.
This is not a stadium. This is a theater.
You do have stadium seating, though.
So at my movie theater, there was a lady came in the other day. She says, "Do you? Okay, I'll get. Can I get a popcorn? Is it real butter? Like, I don't want it if it's not real butter. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's real butter. It's melted right back here. Oh, good. That's the only reason I get popcorn loaded on there.
Oh, God.
That's so interesting.
Oh, God.
You know what?
This Make is sure to put it on halfway.
This is kind of on topic. Have you guys heard of Grimes, the singer Grimes?
No.
So she's pregnant with Elon Musk's child.
Musk's hisses.
I can't say his name, apparently.
Elon Musketeers.
Elon Musk, you know, billionaire, CEO of
Real
life version of Tony Stark, yep. Really.
Yep, you knew it.
And she had a video with Harper's Bazaar on YouTube, and I've never really listened to her music. Because it's weird and it's out of my comfort zone of music, I guess. I just never got into it. And she looks very strange, and I've never heard her talk before, but I expected her to be more like ethereal, like, hi, my name is Grimes. I don't know what.
You can barely even hear that.
She sounds like a valley girl. Like, she sounds like a normal girl, you know? And I just wasn't expecting it. And I clicked on the video just to see, it was like, what I eat in a day while I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh, I'm interested in that. So I clicked on it, and she was talking about one of the things that she talked about. She makes this thing called butter toast, which is where she This is what she does. She melts a pan of butter and then takes a piece of toast and soaks both sides of the toast in the melted butter and then puts a little bit of jam on it and then she eats it.
So it's soaking wet.
It's soaked in butter. So she probably eats it, I'm assuming, with like a knife and a fork, you'd think.
I gotta go, like, puke or something. I'll be right back.
But I was just like, wow. Like, that is just, like, I don't know if I'd admit that. If I, like, did that, you know, and that was some... You know, some people have, you know... We all have our snack habits that we're a little bit, like, it's our secret bad snack habit, maybe.
No!
No?
Okay. No!
It's like, oh, here's what I eat for lunch. I wet my finger and stick it in a bag of white sugar, and then I just right. slurp it on up.
Or like, I make SpaghettiO pie covered in Doritos.
Oh, God.
Which is what Andrew Cohen does.
Oh, God.
But
the only thing I do is, like, just putting, like, Nutella and peanut butter on my sandwich.
That is normal.
That's a good sandwich.
That's all I got, guys.
That's a weird thing that I do.
Oh, I have a lot of water croutons.
Ew.
They're ice cubes.
What?
Oh, and for some reason my brain heard water chestnuts, which I hate.
No, water croutons.
Okay. Have you ever heard of water chestnuts?
Yeah, no, I don't eat
those. They're so nasty.
Yeah.
They have no taste and they're really crunchy.
No, water croutons. Highly recommend. You can put them on your salad. You won't even know you're eating it halfway through.
It's not good to crunch ice.
Huh?
It's not good.
It's not ice. It's not ice.
It's not good to eat water croutons. It's bad for your teeth.
I don't chew it. I just kind of let it sit there.
You suck on it or something?
Yeah. My teeth get hurt really bad, but it's worth it.
That sounds awful. It sounds like a horror.
Peter is a party animal.
Yeah! Load me up with those water croutons!
Alright, we're so off topic. We should now...
Yeah, onward. That's great right. movie. Must watch. Everyone here has loved the movie. Cried a bunch.
It was really good. I cried a lot.
One thing I despised was the beginning, the Pixar lamp. There was no sound, bro.
I thought the same thing.
There was no sound to the Pixar
thing.
Lamp.
No, I thought the same thing.
What was that? There was some stupid...
I want my squeaky noises.
Yeah. Brunching, you know what I'm talking about?
I know.
Like it wiggles and it looks up at you. No sound,
and then the light
guys.
Goes off and it's, and you kind of feel something. Like I just thought that lamp is
clean. Yeah.
Was that weird?
It was silent. I mean, it wasn't silent, but it was muted over the, I don't know, music, the weird music, bagpipe music that was going over it.
Yeah, I don't
for that, I give it zero.
No.
The whole movie ruined. I don't even want to talk about it. You guys can rate it.
Re-release the movie with the lamp sounds.
Yes. You guys talk about it. I'm done.
Okay, well, I would personally give it, like, a 4.5 out of 5.
Dang, dude.
It was really good.
Even with the Pixar lamp not?
I mean, that was disappointing, but not enough to not rate it well, because it
was a very short I walked movie. Out.
You walked out.
I wanted my refund.
I forgot
that I worked there and got it for free. I want my time back.
Go up to the ticket counter. Yeah, and the Pixar lamp didn't make any noise, so I want my money back.
You work here, Peter. You're,
oh.
You're
give me named. My money.
Yeah, right. Never mind. I'm just gonna
leave. Theo,
oh, you know what? You know what irritated me?
What?
One tiny thing. About 1 hour into the movie, the cop, you know, the cop centaur character, he calls for backup. And then show up 2 seconds later.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Now, nowhere on earth does a police car arrive less than 5 to 7 minutes after the call is made. That's just a standard.
Way out in the nowhere like they were.
They were in a huge field.
Yeah, they just appeared behind a hill on the magical land.
Yeah.
They were in the mountain. They were waiting.
Yeah. Maybe.
I walked out. I said, I want my money back.
Wait.
They said you work here. No, this is my joke, dude. I'm trying to do my joke. So they said you work here, and I said I want my time.
Are you just copying what I said? You're just copying.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't steal my joke.
So you know what? You can't steal my father.
What? He's our dad.
So anyway, yeah, that kind of this movie reminded me of our relationship, obviously as brothers. But obviously with, like, the order reversed where the younger brother, in reality, was the loser. And just, you know, and also that part, you know, with only having the lower half of the dad. I don't remember if you remember, but when they buried our dad, they forgot to put his pants on. Do you remember that? And then we just had the tuxedo pants. That were, like, we came back from the funeral. We were in the office, and the tuxedo pants were just sitting on the desk.
Yeah, we had to put the pants on over the shoes. It was so, like, it took so long. It felt like a million years.
So that was kind of, it's almost the same storyline, really.
No.
Identical.
No. I remember being just, like, sad, but in the movie, when I watched the movie, I was actually, you know, like, happy sad. So there's that.
And then the brothers bonding and everything, like, that didn't really happen.
Right.
Right.
Hey, give us your rating.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it a solid 4. Good solid 4 chunks of butter.
Out of 5.
And out of 5, and I took notes throughout. It was a very tightly plotted hour and a half, like just an almost exactly 1 hour and 30 minutes. And they ticked off all their plot points. You know, they had their B plot with the mom and the manticore, very funny. Everybody had their growth, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I perceived the theme as being authenticity, as being finding your true self, that kind of idea. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
And I think every character went through a phase of doing that. Even the centaur cop at the end, he realizes that he's a centaur. He whisks off his hat and he gallops off to work.
Yeah, he's like a fat centaur, which looked really weird.
Yeah. Centaur, I mean, like, I was thinking about this on the way home last night. Like, a centaur and an elf, you know, like.
Okay, all right. I would give it, I was totally joking about the lamp bit. Even though that I was so mad I wanted to hit the person next to me, but it was a child, so I didn't. I would give it 4. I would give it a 4. 4 out of 5 butter. In total,
so
that's a lot of
like
butter.
A 4 overall.
Yeah. Go watch it. What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, I'm talking to you right now, listening
also,
to it.
The lovely Brandon Carlyle.
You know what?
Wrote
this could be one of my favorite Pixar movies. Wow. Because I didn't find it as emotionally manipulative as so many of the others.
Yeah.
But if you want to find out what the top 5 Pixar movies are according to the butterheads out there, you'll have to stay tuned.
All right. You heard the man. Sit there and wait.
Real.
Butter.
Okay, butterheads. I'm doing the 1 minute with Matt.
Hey, Poppy.
Yeah, let's do this, okay?
You got it, bro.
Okay, you have 1 minute to review Onward. 3, 2, 1, go.
I gotta admit, I teared up at least twice. Yeah, I kind of cried once. It was awesome. The more you know about D&D, Magic the Gathering, World of Warcraft, SWTOR, oh, the spells, the effects, the characters, getting hooked on the ease of tech and instead of working with your two hands or feet. It's just amazing. The cast was great. Story was awesome. 5, 6 dungeon mats out of 5.
That broke the scale.
It has to. It was that good.
Well, now you can't top anything.
I know. The only things that have come close to a 6, Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars A New Hope, Krull from the 80s, The Last Starfighter.
Wow, I didn't know that was possible, but I mean, I guess you're the one rating it, and you also have your own sort of rating, so.
I only have 1 10, The Matrix.
Out of 5?
That would be a 10 out of 5, The Matrix.
You are ridiculous! This is just. I don't know what to say.
Gone with the Wind could also be a 10.
What are you talking about? Okay, back to you, Peter and whoever else.
Real.
Butter.
Oh, wait. Amanda hasn't said no thanks in a long time. That is her catchphrase.
I mean, you guys made that out. My catchphrase without me saying I want that as my catchphrase.
It's.
I didn't even realize I was saying it a lot, because I don't even know how you want me to say it. Like, I don't really.
I love eating spiders, live spiders. They just crawl right into your mouth. You can just munch on them.
That's so gross. Stop it.
Say it.
I will not.
Say it.
I will not be forced to do something I don't want to do.
Fine. I like eating spider wasps. They sting my tongue as I eat them, and it makes it more enjoyable.
Sucks for you.
That sounds great. I would love some. Would you, Amanda?
No.
Well, say it politely, please.
No, I don't have to. You're not going to win.
I will win.
All right.
I will
let's
win.
Let's move on. We're back. We've been back. We got some top 5 going on.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's a lot of Pixar movies at this point. They've been making them since 1995. I remember it well!
Yeah, me too. I mean, not really.
No, not really for you, huh?
Well, I mean, was Toy Story the first one?
It was.
I mean, I definitely saw that in the theater, so that might be one of my earliest memories.
That was actually the very first computer-animated full-length feature ever.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, cool. I actually told you that on our Toy Story episode, and I'm deeply hurt that you don't remember.
I remember you making fun of me that whole time, so I'm kind of glad I don't remember any of that.
But you deserve it.
Just let that sit there for all the viewers.
If there's any viewers, I'll be shocked, because this is a podcast.
You can watch it. You can look at your blank screen.
Are we on YouTube?
I suppose
now?
So.
Yeah, we're on YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube.
We are occasionally on YouTube when I feel like putting up the videos.
Anyway.
All right.
Cool.
That's here's
cool.
The top five list. So this is very arbitrarily voted on by the wonderful butterheads out there in the Twitterverse. I'll start with number five. This is one you don't hear about so much. But it was actually, it was quite good. Oh, it was different.
Okay.
Let's see if you can guess it. I'm going to give you the first two words. The good.
What?
Wait. The good?
The good blank.
The good dinosaur?
Correct.
I was going to say that.
Oh my god. I just like had a flashback to like when you, probably what you were like when you were five.
Yes. So this came out in 2015, and yeah,
I did not.
Pixar, see Disney.
I liked it a lot.
There's not. It's good. About a dinosaur.
It was the first time that I really noticed how detailed a Pixar movie was, and I think they were, you know, they were just up in their game. Mm-hmm. But they had like zoomed in shots of like leaves with like water trickling off of them, and it looked real.
Mm-hmm.
Until like a big
kind of
past it. And it, like the background and everything. I think that was the first time that they really, really, really pushed for something like that. Because even in like something like Bug's Life, which is way, way long before that.
I love that movie.
But you know what I'm talking about? Like it was like it's like night and day.
Yeah.
With that movie and something that
movie
was
came
like
out in the late 90s.
Right, so. Right. But even like 10 years from that, like that's a crazy jump.
I mean that's like 15 years.
That's still a crazy jump.
Yeah. But you think about the technology that's changed from cell phones.
Yeah.
From 97 to 2015.
It just looks so.
We've really gone far, but yeah.
Yeah, I loved that movie. All right, what's number.
Yeah, they did a lot of work to illustrate the landscape. And because basically, like, nature is the villain, nature is the antagonistic force in that film. So you have dark, you know, storm clouds and. Like, I think they used a lot of settings from Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, really?
And things like that. Yeah, and they used data from the U.S. Geological Survey and satellite imagery. And yeah, so that was definitely a big jump up for them.
Like it could be a wallpaper. Any scene without the dinosaur in it could be like a wall. I mean, you know what? You could put the dinosaur.
Put the dinosaur in it.
It's a Pixar movie, Amanda.
I don't know if I could see it. Have you ever seen the movie Land Before Time?
Yeah, it's not as sad as that, to be honest with you. Let's not talk about Land Before Time.
I just used to watch that as a kid all the time. I had it on VHS, and I would cry every time.
Yeah, it destroyed me.
Why was I watching that?
I don't know, but I remember watching the sequels, and they're singing.
What were the leaves called again? Star? Leaf star? Tree stars!
Yeah, tree star. The sequels after that movie, they're all singing and stuff. Even as a child, I'm like, what the heck happened?
I never even watched. I mean, I must have watched them once.
Don't.
But I was not like a regular viewer.
Even as a wee lad, I was so disappointed and like, what? What is happening?
Yeah.
That's funny. I was disappointed in you as a wee lad.
Oh, you know what else is a good animation movie from the 90s? Or maybe this might have been an 80s movie. What was it called? It's on the tip of my tongue. Don't tell me.
I don't know, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. From the 90s?
Fievel. Remember the mouse named Fievel?
Oh, an American Tail.
What? Oh, yeah.
An American Tail, yeah.
T-A-I-L.
You just unlocked something in my brain that I didn't know that locked or even existed.
What is the song that his sister sings? And it's...
There are no cats in America.
I love that song. It's a sad one.
There are no cats in America.
Well, that must be that news. Well, anyway, that movie was amazing. I had a Fievel, like, stuffed toy when I was a child.
Oh, yeah.
Great name.
That's part of the Don Bluth movies.
Oh, yeah. I think I have heard of that.
That was one of them. He made an American Story, and he made, oh, God, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, can't watch that one.
Look, I'm gonna get sad.
Jesus. He also made The Land Before Time.
Yeah. And he made An American Tale 2. But I can't remember
he
what
really
was,
knows how to destroy
there's a
you.
There's a sequel that was also really good.
Yeah.
Rip out your soul.
So, like, before Pixar existed, he was the animator who could just grind you down.
Yeah. All right,
he probably actually, he was your first kind of, he was the one who got you hooked on crying, probably, you know?
I mean, honestly.
He got you on this whole tear addiction.
He conditioned you.
I honestly...
Yeah.
That is one of my most well-known personality traits by anyone who knows me is that I cry all the time.
Oh, that's...
That's Amanda. She cries.
I don't believe that.
Isn't that weird? No, I swear. All of my... I mean, I was just talking to my friend about this movie today, and I was like, oh, man, I'm crying. And she's like, I'm not surprised.
Good grief.
since October. And I was like, what? And I was like, am I a psycho for crying?
No!
Is that normal?
She's the psycho.
Well, it's fine.
You need to cry more often, bro.
I mean, I accept my crying, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's healthy.
Crying is healthy.
It releases emotion.
I haven't cried since 3 years ago.
I just like sometimes it's, you know, inopportune. Sometimes in meetings at work, someone will say something that touches my heart and I'll like have to fight off tears in a meeting.
Number four.
Number four.
I like the guessing.
Le Incroyables.
Oh, The Incredibles.
What the
heck? Yes.
He just said it in French.
Did I just seize out for a second?
No, he's in French.
Let me grasp myself here.
The Incredibles.
You can't handle culture.
That's like my family's favorite Pixar movie. Like, as a family, we love that movie.
I was slightly disappointed in the second one.
Oh, yeah. You know, the second one was definitely not as good as the first. When it was as good as the first.
Like, we waited so long for that.
I know.
And then story-wise, it was the exact same story, plot-wise.
But just with Elastigirl instead of...
Yeah. The two, they just switched places.
That's the best they could have done.
And it also just picked off, it picked up the second the last one left off.
Which doesn't make any sense, because we're all, like, 20 years older, like,
Oh, really? You're still a baby. Weird.
Yeah, I was ready to see, like, Jack as, like, the ultimate superhero, like Superman or something. You know, he's, like, invincible. He's got all these powers, and then he's...
Still a baby. Let me tell you, the original, though, what a great movie.
Right?
Fantastic. Wow.
Beautiful.
A terrific movie. Can watch it with the whole family and they'll all find it funny. I can watch it now and I'll think it's hilarious, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I love about Pixar movies, too, and this happened in Onward as well. There are levels of jokes, you know? There's for, like, different age levels.
Yeah.
So, like, as an adult woman, I found things funny that as a child I wouldn't have noticed.
Oh, yeah, I've looked back on movies and I'm like, they said that?
Yeah.
And
actually,
I didn't know.
The time that I experienced that the most was with Miss Congeniality. I loved that movie as a kid. Do you remember that movie?
Uh-huh.
And I recently watched it maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I was like, this movie was naughty. I can't believe my parents let me watch this. Because, like, some of the jokes were, like, obviously over my head then, but
yeah.
I got them now.
They've got away with doing that.
Yeah, it's great. All right.
Oh, and Peter, did you know that Brad Bird, who directed The Incredibles, his first... animated feature was The Iron Giant.
Oh, wow.
I know you, yeah.
You like that movie?
That is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, it's a good movie. Oh. That also makes me cry.
Oh.
Shocking.
And he also directed, for Pixar, he also directed Ratatouille.
Oh.
And outside of Pixar, directed Mission
Impossible. No, it's a French dick.
Mission Impossible Ghost.
I've quoted the movie.
Ghost Protocol.
I just quoted the guy saying it. He was drunk, and he's like, it's like Rat and Patootie.
Oh.
Rat Patootie.
I don't remember that.
You got offended, bro.
I did get offended.
It's a dish! I think that's what they said in the movie, too, or something like that.
I love that.
Yeah, it's been, I think, a year since I've seen The Iron Giant. I should probably watch it again.
A whole year?
Yeah, man. It's been way too long. I almost like...
Who are you anymore?
About it. I don't know. I've lost myself.
Okay.
Number three.
I mean, yeah. I was trying to lose you for years, but you just kept turning up. No, like, you know, I would take him to the playground or something, and then he'd be on the slide, and I'd run away. All but right. He always found his way home.
Also sad. Let's go. Number three.
Number three. Monsters Incorporated.
I thought I was going to guess.
I thought we were guessing.
Monsters Incorporated.
Oh.
Monsters
Inc. Sorry.
Got it.
Monsters, comma...
We got it.
Ink.
Another
game. And it's not its prequel, Monsters University.
I still haven't seen Monsters University.
What?
I know, I don't know. I must have been busy.
That was a good C prequel.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
C prequel.
I don't know. I
would,
actually,
I would
the guy, the director of Onward directed Monsters University.
Really?
Oh.
I'm not surprised. Like, I'm That's phased cool. a little bit, but I'm not super surprised because they've got like this tight nook of like super creative people that I'm not surprised that they're
at Pixar.
Yeah, they're not.
But it does take a long time for them to make a movie, so probably.
But it's so worth it.
Yeah. I love Monsters, Inc. That's another one that came out in like, you know, when I was 8 to 10. I don't know exactly when it came out, but I was like prime age for that, you know, so I like grew up with it. I just love it. I love Boo. I love her costume. I love the scene where she's going, the costume is going through the garbage compactor, or like her one eye, like tin eyeball, and Sully's like passing out like every window. It's like, that was like the funniest thing when I was a kid. Love it. I love how they're afraid they are of a harmless child.
Didn't that crab guy scare you so badly?
Randall?
I don't know, he was like the boss.
Oh, the boss. What was his name again?
He terrified me.
Yeah, at the end. I mean, he had too many legs.
Oh.
Randall scared me too, though, because he was slimy.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And I loved Roz. I'm watching you.
I'm always watching.
So she always used to do that all the time. Oh, my gosh. Loved it. What a great movie. Also, John Goodman and Billy Crystal are Sully and Michael Zassner.
Yeah.
What a great, you know, great comedic team. They're great. Love John Goodman. What an actor. Number two.
This came out in 2003. The highest grossing G-rated film of all time until Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 2?
No.
Cars?
The American Film Institute named it as one of the 10th greatest animated feature ever made.
Topic of what it is, because otherwise we're going to be.
I thought you were just going to go 2003.
What's the, you know, give us like a little hint of what it is.
Let's see. It won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature in 2003, the first Pixar film to do so.
They're all Pixar.
They all win.
They all
the Pixar movies win.
They're all animated.
No, they don't.
Well, not all.
Of
them, but most. Of them.
Okay, I'll read the cast from kind of less appearance to greatest.
I don't think we're going to. Willem
Dafoe, our official sponsor, Willem Dafoe.
I didn't know he was
a small part.
What?
Ellen DeGeneres?
What the?
Ellen. Oh,
Nemo! Bro, Nemo!
Finding Nemo!
Flying Fish, Nemo.
Love Finding Nemo. What a movie. That's all I'm saying.
They found him. Spoiler alert.
You know what? And also, I want to say, Finding Dory was also amazing.
Yeah!
The ending with her parents. Woo!
So what do you think happened with The Incredibles, because all these sequels are like prequels.
And you know what's interesting about The Incredibles is that people were asking Pixar for a sequel for years. Like, longer than they were asking for a Finding Nemo sequel.
Maybe they just didn't know what to do. They're like, yeah, we're on it.
It's just, you know, there's so much. It's so interesting that was a problem for them, because there's so many stories they could have taken from any number of comic books or any number of superheroes that exist and changed it to make it an incredible story.
That's exactly what they did, because The Incredibles totally skimmed off several major comic books.
I'm sure. I don't know what they are.
Fantastic Four, you've got...
Well, for the family unit, the Fantastic Four. For the kind of postmodern superheroes or outlawed thing, you've got Watchmen.
Yep.
Oh, and X-Men, I guess, right?
Yeah, because it's got
the... Because the mutants...
They're called Supes? What are they called in the movie?
Supers,
yeah. So it's like...
Yeah, you're thinking of the TV show that you like.
Oh, yeah.
I watched some of that.
The Boys
is like
a... That's on Amazon, right?
That's a really good show. Not kid-appropriate.
I haven't seen it.
No, it's like vulgar.
At all. Don't even think about your child when you watch this show.
See, you know I'm not a huge superhero person. I struggle with it. My attention span is just...
This one is like a gritty, realistic, like, one guy is flying in the show, and, like, they're trying to save, a plane, and he's like, I have nothing to push off of the plane. I can't push the plane up when I'm flying. It doesn't work like that. So they kind of make it more, even though he's still able to fly, which is really non-realistic.
Uh-huh.
But it's more realistic than something else where, like, Superman could just lift the plane because somehow he's able to push off from something and lift the plane up more.
Interesting.
That's physics, folks.
Yeah, so it's got, like, a realism. It's got, like, a more realistic turn to it. I don't know. It was cool.
All right.
It's also a social satire.
Really, really.
But number one on this list is not a social satire.
That's our hint.
man.
Just name off the Pixar movies, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta go with something, man.
You really want us? Okay, let me think.
I mean, you don't have to make it so hard that we can't guess it, you know? Like,
but I think any clue to this will be instantly guessable,
this is
because
number one.
Is it Toy Story?
It's just so Yeah, it's Toy Story.
I was going to be like, number...
that's like the most famous Pixar movie. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you really, you can't get away from it. And I assume that by voting this number one, we're also voting in all of its wonderful sequels.
And, you know, let me tell you, number three, that was some real existential... Sorry to swear, but I had to. The ending where they're all like, yeah, we're going to die. And they all just hold hands.
And oh, man. Incinerator. It was way too real. Like, way what? Too real.
And also, can I just say, is I... All right. I was 4 in 1995 when Toy Story came out. Andy was 5. So... And also, when Toy Story 3 came out, I was going to college that year, and he was going to college.
Whoa.
So, like, I aged with Andy... every step of the way to the first three movies. And the people in my grade, when Toy Story 3 came out, we were all like, too deep, man. Like, we can't handle it. Because, like, we're all going through the same thing.
Whoa.
So I have, like, felt a real, like, connection with the Toy Story movies because of that. Just because, like, I am that age. I'm just in that age range. And I just, like, every time they came out was like, wow, I can't handle it. But, yeah, what a good list.
I don't think we could have gone wrong with that list.
I mean, I think any Pixar movie is worthy. Up?
Yeah.
Up!
You know what I haven't seen?
What?
WALL-E.
You haven't seen WALL-E?
I know.
What?
I missed it, and I'm afraid to watch it at this point.
WALL-E.
Because I'm afraid it's going to be too much, and I won't be able to handle it.
That is one of my all-time favorite Pixar movies.
I can't. I don't know if I can do it. You know? I don't know. I know the premise. I know there's, like, a robot love story.
Kind of.
They I know he's it, very lonely on the planet weird. Earth with the trash.
Yeah.
I don't know the ending. Don't spoil it for me. I know...
Han Solo dies.
Stop it. I just know it's horribly sad.
And Darth Vader's his father.
Ooh, got him.
I'll probably end up watching it in a few years.
What's the song in there? I'm trying to remember it. I can't remember. It's like an old... oldie song.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know there's an old song. I can't remember what it is. Was it a Frank Sinatra song or something?
I think so.
Or Nat King Cole or something? Or
he's like...
let's see. La Vie en Rose. Performed by Louis Armstrong.
Rosa.
That is one, but there's another one.
By our favorite Edith.
Wow, see, they really...
Put on your Sunday clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
Cute.
Performed by Michael Crawford.
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, that'll be in my head all day now. Thank you.
All right.
Sing it.
No, I don't want to.
Sing it.
No.
I don't want to get in trouble for singing something on here.
Amanda, would you like to sing it?
I don't know if I know that song by heart. I would have to have a backtrack.
So were you seeing sort of a thank you, but no?
We're going now. We'll be back with Hot Goss.
No, thanks. The Real Butter Buttercast.
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars, reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming. 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
Welcome back to the Real Butter Buttercast. It's time for Hot Goss.
Hot Goss.
Hot Goss.
Thank you. I have one thing that I really want to talk about a lot. And it's the fact that Ana de Armas, who is most recently in Knives Out, also was in Blade Runner 2049, she's dating Ben Affleck. Exactly.
What?
She is a 24-year-old rising starlet. She's the new Bond girl. She's Going to be playing Marilyn Monroe in a later movie coming out this year.
What?
She's also in another, something else that I can't remember that people are very excited about, and I can't remember. Anyway, she's got the world at her fingertips. She's this gorgeous, tall woman, very fashionable, and she's dating Ben Affleck.
Affleck.
Barf.
Who?
Man, he's just some old, an old drunk.
Old drunk, who's a jerk whether or not he's sober.
I don't... What?
And he has a movie out right now called The Way Back, which I'm not interested in seeing, and it's about a basketball coach, blah, blah, blah. Boring. No interest. And he's on this PR journey where I've seen, like, two or three interviews now, or read about them, where he says, like, oh, divorcing Jennifer Garner was my biggest mistake of my life, and I regret it, and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man.
Shut the heck up,
Ben. Oh, gosh.
Shut up. What a nasty... You know what?
One could say, no thanks.
If you try to make me say it, I'm not going to say it. Let it happen organically, or it's not going to happen.
All right. I'm waiting.
I'm just, you know what? I'm just upset. And, like, you know, he's, like, 45 or something.
Oh. What?
You know? Whoa. And I can't really say anything because, you know.
Let's.
My fiancé is 40, and I am not. But, also... He's not an old, washed-up drunk who's a jerk.
Bam!
Anna is 24. And they've been... They were in Cuba this week, which is... She's from Cuba. And they've been in Cuba for the last week doing the fun little sightseeing tour. And, why is he there? Why? She could have anyone.
Oh, Amanda, he is 47 years old.
47!
Oh my gosh.
He is 23 years older than her. He could be her father.
What's her last name?
DeArmas. Two words. D-E space A-R-M-A-S.
I can't type.
It's the first one, dude. He's looking her up on IMDb. I just am like...
You are
kidding.
And you
know what? Everybody's free. You know, they're both consenting adults. If she's like, this is what she really wants. Okay, honey, but I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, like... Over a decade, two decades?
Over two decades.
Older than her? That's...
I don't know.
That's a big real butter no thanks right there.
It really is.
Good grief.
Jennifer Garner is an angel for what she puts up with. I have seen paparazzi photos of her literally driving him to rehab, and he is, like, clearly wasted. You know, and this is after they got divorced. You know, she tries so hard to get him to be a present, you know, active father. Yeah, and, you know, he dated, a Playboy model for a very long time. There's nothing wrong with being a Playboy model. Nothing wrong with it at all, but, like, dating an early 20s Playboy model and you're in your late 40s, like, date someone your own age, you know?
It's not hard.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say much, but, yeah. At least...
This is different.
Like, I'm like... My age difference is like half of what his is.
That's insane.
So, you know... Yeah. It's weird, man. And even if it's a PR relationship, what good PR is Ana de Armas going to get from this?
Right. I would be so uncomfortable. Even if a person that much younger than me was just interested. I'd be like,
I don't know what she's thinking. I really don't. So, I think they're in a movie together. They just finished filming, actually, for this. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. But, not excited. No, not excited for this. If this is just a PR relationship and they're in a contract, weird. They're in a real relationship, also weird.
Even weirder.
Maybe weirder, yeah. Yeah. So, that's my big story.
Any other news, like Dune or anything? Didn't something come out about that, or am I hallucinating?
Something about Dune?
There's nothing new about Dune. Josh Brolin did an interview recently saying that he is not planning on acting that much anymore because he has a very young child, a baby. And he wants to be there for the baby and, like, you know, be very present and not be away on film sets. But he said he kind of came out of his semi-retirement from acting for Dune because of the quality of project and the quality of people that are involved. and that is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity for him to be involved. So
I'm so excited.
That's really exciting, you know.
So excited.
So he can afford, you know, to pick his projects now. He doesn't have to take projects, so that's very exciting. Timmy News, he's in London doing a play, 4,000 Miles.
Timmy.
Yeah. You know, he's playing Bob Dylan in a new movie that is going to start filming this summer.
Yes, it's like official.
Oh, it's official.
Yeah.
And it's by the same director as Walk the Line, actually.
Really?
Yeah, which I just...
Okay.
I was saying
it's in the bag, then.
What?
That it's going to be good.
And Logan.
Yeah.
He directed Logan.
And he directed Ford vs. Ferrari.
And Logan.
Which was, I have heard that's very good. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's amazing. And I believe it. So it's going to be great. I'm really excited for the Bob Dylan movie. Also, I also heard this tidbit. If anyone has watched Euphoria on HBO, which is a very good show about naughty, you know, high schoolers doing things that normal people in normal high schools don't do, but, you know, makes sense on a TV show, Zendaya's in it. She's actually a Dune co-star of Timmy's. She's his love interest.
Wait, she's in Dune?
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's in Dune. It's great. But her co-star...
I actually have a small part. I have a small part in Dune.
I can't believe
I'm announcing it here. I'm announcing it here.
Invited to the premiere, you know?
I want to be in it. That's how much...
There's going to be a sequel, so you can probably be in the sequel.
I'll be a grain of sand if I have to.
Just buried in the sand. Yeah. Just have, like, some hairs.
I'll be a lump.
He's an air tumbleweed.
Yeah, I'll just roll around.
Anyway, so Zendaya's co-star on Euphoria, she plays another high school student. Her name is Alexa Demi. And she's really good in the show. She plays a really funny character that has an arc. She's very good. She hinted on an Instagram Live recently that she's going to be playing Joan. I can't say her name. Baez? Is that what I'm saying that right, Theodore? Baez? Joan
Baez. Yes, I remember her well. We were close friends.
What, is that what I'm saying her last name right? Baez? Or is it Baez?
Yeah. I think it's Baez.
Okay. Well, she was a collaborator with Bob Dylan. You know, they perform. They were. You know, she's a female musician, so that would be exciting. I'm totally into that.
Dang, man.
Because I like her.
Dang, too. Man.
Yeah, this movie's gonna be great. So.
Dune.
Going electric. That's the tentative title in this Bob Dylan movie, because it's about the time when he went electric, like switched from acoustic to electric guitar. Also, The French Dispatch is coming out this summer. Which is the new Wes Anderson movie with Timmy.
That's right.
And Saoirse. And Frances McDormand. And Bill Murray.
I want to punch the wall, dude.
A million other people. It's going to be fantastic. So, lots of things to look forward to. I wish I could go to London to see Timmy, but honestly, I don't really care for London. Hot tip. It's a large city, and it was very overwhelming. And this is coming from someone who lives in New York, so... I find it overwhelming.
Yeah, London has got, like, the weird, like, nooks and crannies, and it's laid out all weird.
It's so big. It's so...
And it doesn't help
that
it's...
And it's, like, such a geographically large city, and it stressed me out, you know? And it took forever to get anywhere. I don't know. I like Scotland much more. And that was all on the same trip.
Scotland.
This is not a travel log, though, so I will move on. It's all the hot gas I got for you this week.
That was pretty hot. That was really hot.
Thanks. I've had a lot of feelings about it, and I feel kind of bad about, like, having opinions about someone else's relationship. Like, it's none of my business, really.
I hope she's okay.
I mean, she's okay. She's an adult woman. She's going to take care of herself. But I just want, like, you know, I just want to be friends with her and, like, sit down and have a drink and be like, hey, girl, what are you thinking? You know, like, what are you thinking?
What's going on?
Why?
Why?
Why him?
Why not any other person?
That's how I feel. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, I don't even know what's happening next
week. We'll have to
discuss
this.
There might be a meteor that comes down.
I have a preference, but I don't know if anyone else will agree with me. We'll talk about it off air.
Ooh.
I don't want to argue.
Okay. Whoa.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back. If you're listening to this from in the way future and there's like 5 other episodes ahead of
this one.
Go listen to the next one. Why not?